The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We are the Goldilocks Red Sox podcast because there is not one unanimous decision or opinion on this team. We are all over the map. We have people that are fully buying their World Series tickets and some that would sell this team tomorrow. I'm your host, Chris Filico, the Italian Stallion, joined by Matt Holmes at MLB Matt, or I'm sorry, MLB at Matt. And then Juan Liriano, our vibes guy, at Juan on MLB. Gentlemen, we saw some unbelievable things with this Boston Red Sox team in LA. I mean, this could be a potential World Series preview. We're now 23-3 in our last 26 games, 28-5 with the sixth sweep in our last 10 series. I'm floating on cloud nine. What did you think of this Red Sox-Dodgers series?
It's been awesome, an awesome run. I feel like I'm dreaming. I kind of can't believe it. We were 14 games under 500, and here we are, coming off the numbers you just said. I believe in that stretch that makes us now 14-0 against four of the top teams in baseball, starting back with that White Sox sweep, the four-game sweep versus the Yankees, the four-game sweep versus the Rays, which was after a delay on the All-Star break, of course, and now a three-game sweep on the road against the back-to-back defending champs in baseball. So it's just an incredible run. July was unbelievable, and August is off to an even better start at 2-0. We'll get a little more into just kind of the details of the games, but I kind of wanted to just start with a tweet from Sarah Langs. I think by now we all know that July 21-4 is the best month in the history of the Red Sox organization, which is unbelievable. Obviously something that we as Red Sox fans have never seen. But if you go a layer further in terms of all of baseball, all of the franchises and all of the seasons and months that have been played over the last 100 plus years, Sarah Langs, one of the great statisticians of our era here, the Red Sox are the first team in MLB history to enter a calendar month 10 plus games under 500 and leave said month 7 games over 500. And here's the even crazier part of that. Only two previous teams had even entered 10 games under 500 and exited that month 2 games over 500. So we blew that out of the water by 5 games. That's over 3x. I'm torn. I really want to. I'm almost ready to give Craig all the flowers in the world, but in my opinion, he has one more test to pass, and that test is up tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll get more into the trade deadline. But yeah. Cloud Nine says it all. It's been an awesome run. It's been a fun run, and it's been a blast to get the summer back and witness history.
Yeah, the vibes are at an all-time high at this point. Like, if you're not riding with this team, then honestly, I'm going to be completely transparent here. You're not a Boston Red Sox fan. It's really that simple. They have checked every single box. As Matt mentioned, they had the best record in the month of July. I think it was 21-4. They're 25-0 when they score 4 runs, guys. That's how dominant this team has been in the month of July and continuing into this month where they've swept the best team in this decade, right? You can say in our generation, if you want to compare them to the late 90s of the Yankees of the late 90s, but they've checked every single box. They pitch extremely well. They play great defense. They play smart baseball under Chad Tracy. What else do you want? And I'm at the point where I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to give Craig Breslow his flowers. I'm done with the whole fire Breslow nonsense. He's not going anywhere anyways. Every single guy, and I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over and over again. Every single guy that Breslow brought in, they're gamers. Now, of course, we want him to show us something during the trade deadline. That's a different conversation. He's put together a competitive team. He made the right decision in getting rid of Alex Cora, which I'm honest. I was wrong about that. I thought that would really get us to the point where we were just tanking. And he pulled that card, and it was the right move because under Chad Tracy, they're playing smart baseball. They're bunting time and time again, moving runners into scoring position. They're stealing more bases. Man, like, what else do we want? So I'm in. I'm all in with this Boston Red Sox team. Of course, I want them to bring in one more bat. I want them to go out there, trade prospects, and bring in one more bat. But if they don't, so what? They're still dominating. They just beat the best team in Major League Baseball. They swept the LA Dodgers. What else do you want? What else do you need to see to believe in this version of the Boston Red Sox? I'm all in. I'm all in no matter what happens tomorrow.
Well, you made some good points, Juan. And the fact that, I mean, listen, we did just sweep what has become the team that is what we all thought the late 90s Yankees were, right? Because I think growing up as Red Sox fans, and even any MLB fan, or even as a Yankee fan, people would say like, oh, the Yankees always get the star. And like, it very much felt that way. But I have never seen anything like this in professional sports where literally the Dodgers, they literally get every star. They get the 1A, the 1B, the 1C, and then all the twos. And then every other team is left with the threes at best. To answer your question of what do I want to go to the World Series. Now, what do I think it's going to take to get there? Could this team do it? It would be hard-pressed to say that it's impossible. They just literally swept the best team in baseball, the two-time defending champs, in pretty convincing fashion. They outscored them 20-10. Granted, this wasn't the best version of the LA Dodgers, and we will get to the LA Dodgers bolstering themselves and adding additional help for their playoff run a little bit later. However, with the Boston Red Sox, I mean, it's hard to complain. You know, you said it best, like, I'm at a point now where I know Craig Breslow isn't going anywhere, so there's no sense in even talking about getting rid of him. He's not going anywhere. He deserves a ton of credit. Every button that he has pushed and or pulled with levers has worked for the most part, with the exception of things that have happened at the deadline, right? Specifically the trade deadline in season. In the offseason, he has made moves that have proved to help the Boston Red Sox, whether it be Garrett Crochet last year, Sonny Gray, despite most of us being skeptical of that move. But it's hard to argue with what he's done. I mean, he's pulled the right levers in getting rid of Cora, which I was in favor for. I did not expect this from Chad Tracy. I was just happy to see Alex Cora go because to me that meant letting go of the guy who represented a time of Red Sox baseball that was, you know, for the majority of his tenure, losing baseball, right? With the exception of a team that I could have managed the World Series. He's making the right moves, right? So it's what it is. Give him his flowers for that. However, I think Matt kind of already hinted at it. There is still a big test to pass as far as what he could potentially do in cementing himself as a viable option long-term as the vice president of baseball operations, if I'm judging him like any other general manager in Major League Baseball, not one that we just have to keep because the team doesn't want to spend money, which is really how I think we've looked at Craig Breslow, fairly or unfairly. Now, when I look at this series, I mean, you want to talk about just completely flipping the Red Sox season over on its head, right? And that's despite the winning streak. Their situational hitting, completely different than the team we saw in the beginning of the season. Their pitching has been their strength, but they have situationally in games, even in the midst of their winning streak or even prior when it was strong, given up leads, their bullpens looked shaky, was pretty much nails throughout this whole series. I mean, just completely shutting down a Dodgers offense that is better than most in Major League Baseball. And then the power. I mean, let's face it. The Red Sox won this series with power. Raffaello went off like a man that was possessed in a good way. I mean, he looked like what would be an AL MVP candidate in this series alone. Now, do I think he is? No. But he sure looked like one, and he's certainly proving that he likes the big moment. Now, the test for him is, can he do it in October? Because he started to show that last year, and then when it came to October, he completely fizzled out and disappeared. Let's hope that that changes going into this postseason, if we are there, because it is still early. But how you could not be impressed with this team that just swept the two-time, you know, two-in-a-row World Series champs, three out of the last five, you'd be hard pressed. You'd almost have to be a Red Sox hater at this point. I agree with you, Juan. So let's just get into it, because this is what everyone wants to talk about. All right. We've got a trade deadline that is less than 24 hours away that is extremely meaningful to the Boston Red Sox. And it's not because the Los Angeles Dodgers just went out there and got Tarik Skubal. Because the truth is, if you're playing the Dodgers, it means you're in the World Series. And that would be a win for the Boston Red Sox, especially with the way that this season started. But let's get down to business, because the AL has completely cemented itself to who's the buyers and who are the sellers. Teams that we thought were going to be in this, like the Tigers, like the Mariners, have completely just said, we're going to sell. They are not going a hard in on the postseason for this year. And if they do, it's going to be because the AL is just putrid, okay? But teams like the White Sox, the Yankees, and the Rays, who we already kind of expected to be formidable opponents in the postseason, have made themselves better. We've got the Yankees going out there and getting Luis Garcia Jr. in a trade that makes me sick to my stomach, not because they got him, but because of what they got him for. So when we talk about the trade deadline for the Boston Red Sox, number one, what do you gentlemen expect? And how are you feeling based on the other trades that other teams are making that we will hopefully compete with for an AL pennant?
Yeah, real quick before I get into that, I just want to touch upon the series one more time, because you hit on Sedan. The Iceman is so cold right now. He's playing out of his mind. And the sweep is impressive, but yesterday's game was incredible. You're going against Yamamoto. Mizorowski's probably the best pitcher in the game right now, but Yamamoto has been an absolute stud since he came to the league 3 years ago. He absolutely dealt last year. I believe he was the World Series MVP too. So one of the best pitchers in the game, one of the best big game pitchers in the game. We don't have Wilson Contreras, our best bopper. And this guy, Sedan Rafaela, just comes in. We had, until that that double by Monasterio in the eighth inning, we only had two hits the whole game. Fortunately, they happened to be two bombs by Rafaela. Kept us in the game. Then, you know, we get that late double. We get a bunt down. We scored a run on a double play, for crying out loud. And we win the game 3-2. And also, Toli was battling out there. He didn't have his best stuff. I think he gave seven hits and two walks or something. He was pitching with trouble with base runners. But, man, this team just has so much grit, so much fight. They lead the league in chutzpah. I tweeted earlier. It's been a blast to watch. I just had to touch upon Sedan. He has been playing out of his mind. I think my favorite part about his breakout season this year, we'd seen some flashes of it before, but he's finally helping me forget about our old friend Mookie Betts. I'm not ready to forgive the organization just yet for it, but seeing him come out and shine and just play with the way he's been playing, I'm finally starting to just forget about it, because now we have a guy that is, you know, a five-tool guy the same way that Mookie was. You know, not completely comparable to Mookie, but you start to see that superstar ceiling. Now, on to the trade deadline, because I mentioned before, Craig, I want to have your back. You're from Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut. I want you to be my boy, man, but your offseason moves are paying off. I was on board with you firing Cora, but Chris, just like you, I didn't expect this from Chad Tracy. I didn't expect this kind of turnaround or this type of success, but I was a fan of that move. You have one more thing to do, Craig, and that's to bring in some reinforcements here for the dog days of August. The way we've been playing right now without our top players, we've been battling through injuries. That's an ode to the 26-man roster, the 40-man roster that you've put together. The depth in this organization is paying off. Kudos to you for that. But I am not going to forget about the way that I felt 1 year ago today or tomorrow, whatever the trade deadline was a year ago, where I was waiting and waiting like a kid on Christmas for Santa Claus to come. And we ended up with Dustin May and Steven Matz. And I don't even hate the Steven Matz move. Honestly, it was a nice piece, but you left us hanging. Okay. We needed more. And to be honest, I wanted to punch you right in the mouth with the way that deadline ended. We cannot afford to do that this year. You said it before, Chris. Other teams are making moves now. The Rays got better. The Yankees got better. And the White Sox got better too. Kudos to them for going out for a starting pitcher. I like them striking while the iron's hot. And the most frustrating part about the Yankees trade, for example, it definitely shows that we overpaid for Meade. I think they got a better player in Garcia for a lot less than what we gave up to get Meade. And I'm not going to hold Craig accountable or blame him for the injury. But I said it then, it was an overpay. I was okay with it, considering Meade did fill a need. But man, after seeing what the Yankees just got from the Nationals, and I know there's a little less of control, years of control, but at this point, another 3 years of Curtis Meade doesn't mean anything to a guy with 22 career home runs right now. So I just think that the Yankees, once again, Cashman proves that he is, you know, a more experienced GM. And Craig, this is the final test. This is the final boss. You need to bring into some pieces. The whole year I've been saying a shortstop, of course, right-handed bat obviously makes sense, despite us being the best team in the American League against left-handed pitching, believe it or not. But I actually think we need a bat and an arm. I was always about relief pitching. Now, the way that the season has been transforming or developing in front of our eyes, I'm leaning towards a starting pitcher. I really think we need a starting pitcher. There's some decent arms still on the market. Peralta moved today. Castillo moved yesterday. Guys I didn't love, but you're starting to see a market for what those starting pitchers can be. I mentioned on the last show, maybe Waka. I do like a guy like Clay Holmes. Naturally, the same last name as me, of course. Who wouldn't want that? He has some experience in the AL East, but I've seen in the chat too, I'm glad that they called it out. I've heard Hauk is throwing bullpens. Oviedo may come back. I see those guys as more bullpen help to shore up the bullpen, which is already the best bullpen in the game, but we can't have enough arms coming out of the bullpen, in my opinion. But with the workload restrictions that I anticipate coming with Toley and Bennett, now we don't have Early. Ranger Suarez has been great when he's pitched, but, you know, a couple stints on the IL, so I can't really count on him being healthy the rest of the way or giving you significant amount of innings the rest of the way. So I think we still need a bat. I'm still standing behind that. If it's a catcher, if it's a shortstop, if it's a left fielder to replace Duran, I don't mind. There's a lot of places that they can get creative and fill this, but I really do think we need a starter, despite how good our pitching has been. I do think we need two moves or one move that brings back two pieces that can help our major league club through the dog days. It's not a knock on the team and how they've been playing right now. I just have concerns from, you know, what happened last year, what happened the year before, which was, what was the stat? I think we've all seen it. The last 4 years, the team was 57 and 51 after 108 games, math off the top of my head, which is ridiculous to have that type of same record after that same amount of games 4 years in a row. But every year, with the exception of last year, they ran out of gas in August and September, and it wasn't good enough to get the job done. We all want a deep playoff run. We've proven that we can compete with the best teams in the league, with the best teams in both leagues. So go out there and get it done. You're going to have to overpay, but it is what it is.
Those are great points on their needs to go out there and get a starting pitcher, because as we've seen, you know, they've lost several guys. You mentioned the innings limits to Toley, right? He's coming up to that innings limit. What are they going to do with him? So that's a great point. However, they have bigger needs, and those needs are either a shortstop or a catcher. Now, to that point, they kind of set themselves up, and by they, I mean Craig Breslow, with that Connelly Early trade, because now they're going to ask for the world if you want to go out there and get like a Zach Nato. You've seen the reports already. They're asking for Franklin Arias. If there's no Franklin Arias in the deal, they're not going to go for it. But that's because of that Early deal. So now, if you're going to want to get a shortstop, and in my opinion, Nato is the least talented out of the group of guys that I want the Boston Red Sox to go out there and get. So unless they're willing to get rid of Arias, I don't think they'll be able to get the shortstop that they need. That's why I think they should pivot to the catcher, because I think that if they're going to go and try to convince Colorado to let go of their guy, I don't necessarily think that they'll need to get rid of Arias or trade Arias to Colorado in order to get them, because we're not getting nothing from Connor Wong and Narvaez. We're not getting any offensive, you know, contribution for neither of those guys. Of course, they do a really good job at controlling the pitchers, but we need more. This offense needs more. And if you can't get a shortstop because you set yourself up, right, to not be able to get one because of what you did with Early, then go out there and try to get a catcher. The next thing that they can do, I don't know if this is pushing it, but don't trade for a catcher. Just bring up Arias at this point. Bring him up, see what he can do with Chad Tracy. We're not talking about Alex Cora here. We're talking about Chad Tracy, who's shown an ability to really get into the minds of these players and really motivate these players. So I really do hope, I'm begging that we don't give up Arias for a Nato. I don't think that that's what they should do. Go out there and get a catcher. If you can't convince I don't know, Cincinnati, right? They were already in talks with Cincinnati for De La Cruz, and they kind of just shut them down. If the Royals are going to shut you down for Bobby Witt, right? You go to the Royals and say, well, hey, maybe we can, we'll trade you Arias for Bobby Witt and some other prospects. If they shut you down, I really do think the next move here is to just go for a catcher, bring up Arias, and see what you can get from him. But either way, like I said before, I'm not going to be too critical of Craig Breslow. I know that you guys are kind of waiting for this next move to see if you're going to buy in on Craig Breslow. I'm bought in. This is just icing on the cake. They're working together. They believe in each other. They got the swagger. Chad Tracy has instilled confidence into this team. I'm going to believe. And whatever they do by the end of tomorrow is just icing on the cake, in my opinion.
Well, I want to just start with it. If the Dodgers called the Royals tomorrow for Bobby Witt, they could trade me, Juan, and Matt and probably get that trade done and piss off the baseball world a little more than they already have. But in all seriousness, I don't disagree with you. And it's not that I'm not bought in on this team. I am bought in on this team. This is the grittiest Red Sox team since 2013. The difference is 2013 had a plethora of players that were either a little bit past their prime, but had the pedigree of world championships with other organizations collectively as a unit, the experience to get it done if all went well, and it did. This team doesn't and is still to this point finding a way. And I very much appreciate that. I think that Craig's fingerprint or thumbprint is on that in some sort of capacity, and he deserves all the credit in the world. Now, if I'm looking at this team in a vacuum and I just look at the importance of position and impact, I think shortstop is the greatest need. But for this team, I think catcher is the greatest need because I think we have options at shortstop, right? Collectively between Monasterio, Siegler, Sogard in the infield, you have guys that could step in and don't let Story come back, please. I just want to get that out of the way. But even if he does, collectively, you have a unit that can make do defensively and can provide some sort of offense in a lower lineup role, right? Whereas a catcher, I mean, can Connor Wong get it done offensively? Yeah, in short spurts in the playoffs, long term, I don't think so. And Narvaez, I am so out on him. He's lazy defensively to a point where if the Red Sox bats weren't up tonight, that could have cost us this game tonight. He's cost us series and games in the past, and his bat is nothing at this point. I'm done with Narvaez. Let him be a platoon guy, ship him off, whatever. For that reason, I'm all over trying to get like a Goodman, right, to come in and play catcher for the Boston Red Sox. And I don't think it's going to take an Arias in that trade to get him. And if you're going to go after a shortstop, I agree with you. I am not trading Arias for a Nito. Just not happening. For a De La Cruz or a CJ Abrams, 100%. I'm all in on it between the control, the age, their savant charts. I'm cool with it. Zach Nito, absolutely not. Let the Angels continue to suck. This is why they suck. They don't know how to part with talent. They try to get the world, and they can sit in that, you know, constant turmoil of bullcrap, and that's fine. And then as far as pitching, I'm all over a guy like Waka, even maybe putting in a phone call for an Eovaldi, right? If the Rangers, you know, there was rumors that the series that they played this weekend was going to determine if they were going to be buyers or sellers. They lost. So if they really truly are sellers, make a phone call on Eovaldi. We know he can pitch in Boston. He's proven he can get it done in October. Is he as good as he used to be? No. But I'm looking for a fourth or fifth starter anyway, if you're bringing in someone. And Michael Waka also pitched well in Boston. Granted, it wasn't in the middle of a postseason run, but nonetheless, I'm fine with a Michael Waka. So if there's guys that we're looking for me, it's Goodman, it's De La Cruz, although that seems like it's off, so more realistically, a CJ Abrams or a Waka / Eovaldi as far as pitching. But here's where I think the trouble is, okay? The Red Sox, and this is where I give Craig a little bit of credit, he tried to set the market price when he went out there and made that trade for Meade, and whether you thought it was an overpay or fair based on whatever, it doesn't matter. It happened. In reflection, it looks like it may have been an overpay, especially with the fact that we're not going to probably see him for either all of this year or until like the wee moments of this year where you're going to have to question what he can truly contribute, especially in the middle of a potential postseason run. Okay. But now the teams that you are going up against have gone out there and put their stakes in, right? The Yankees traded almost nothing to get Luis Garcia Jr. The Rays traded for Peralta. The White Sox traded for Castillo. And at this point, every other GM is going to know that the Red Sox, any move they make is going to be in reaction to those trades, which makes them, number one, desperate. And the fact that basically the only other move that they made, the guy gets hurt in a position of need that we admitted, only exponentially increases the fact that there's a level of desperation by the Boston Red Sox. Admittedly so by all of us, and hopefully by Craig. It's going to take some overpaying. The question is, how much and what are you willing to do? And there's a balance here, because I think there's a lot of Red Sox fans that are just like, I don't care, overpay, Craig proved to me something. And I agree to a certain point, but I also don't want to be stupid, because I've already on the fence where I think we've overpaid for Meade. We're not going to get anything out of him. You know, the jury's out on if it was a good trade until we see him play. But at the end of the day, I don't want to give away a prospect like Arise, and I'm all for trading prospects, but it's for the right players. And to me, a Zach Neto or lesser player, I'm sorry, it can't happen. To me, go out there, I'd rather trade for a catcher. And then, like I said, you have options, including to your point, Juan, Arias might be an option. Maybe he comes up later, and that just adds to the infield depth that we already have at a position of strength for the Boston Red Sox, which we have not had in a long time, an infield where that's a position of strength for this organization. So I don't know what we're going to do. I'm trying not to get my hopes too much up, because this is really where Craig has proven that he's not the most capable. But you know what? This season's been shocking, pleasantly surprising. Maybe tomorrow ends up being the same thing.
Yeah, I think a smart fan, if you're smart, you're not getting your expectations set too high, because you're setting yourself up for most likely being very let down. Right? Look, they've been a great team the last 6 weeks. They've been an unbelievable team the last 6 weeks. But for the first 3 months of the season, they were a terrible team. So in my opinion, that makes them a good team, and I'm happy that they're a good team. I'm happy that we're sitting comfortably in the second wild card spot. I don't have as much beef with Craig as I did a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, right? But we do need to make some moves. I like Goodman. I think he's a good fit, obviously, right-handed power. I'm not super high on moving Arias unless it's going to be for a true needle mover MVP. I don't think Witt is on the table. Sounds like Ellie De La Cruz is not on the table. But if those guys were, package up Arias and send him first class. Let's bring in some all-stars and let's get this thing rocking and rolling. I'm with you guys. Narvaez is just terrible. His defense is bad. It cost us a run tonight, which fortunately didn't cost us the game. Chris, we chatted about it. I think he had a major impact in that missing of the 16th consecutive win a few weeks ago versus the Orioles. I think they were marked as wild pitches, but if you go back and watch it, it's lazy defense. I know they're teaching these catchers to catch on one knee. That's not how I was taught growing up. You got to drop and block. You have to be ready for it to be in a throwing position. I don't care if that's how the league is teaching you. We've seen it time and time again. Pass balls with runners on third because the catcher's down on one knee and they're not in a position to drop and block. So balls are getting by, and we saw it tonight. Two runners score for us in that situation when the Dodgers couldn't do it because they have their third string catcher in. So I'm okay with Wong. He doesn't, you know, wow me at any, but I think he's been playing just fine. And I actually think the backup or a second catcher is highly underrated. We've seen it in the past. I guess it's not that recent in 2013, but David Ross was our backup catcher and he was our stud guy in 2013. I believe Jared Saltalamacchia was our key starting catcher, and he was the reason we lost a blunder in one of those World Series games because of his defense ability. So I'm all in on bringing a backup catcher in. I don't know if I move Arias for Goodman, but one of my favorite things about Goodman is not only his pop, but the rep on a lot of these Rockies players is they only bop because they hit in Colorado and the ball flies there. Well, I've got his baseball chart up and he's got almost 100 points higher OPS on the road than in Colorado. So that tells me he would be just fine at Fenway. He's going to hit bombs. I probably see him more as a DH with games caught for us, but I'm all for shoring up that position. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I hope we're not counting on Story to be the answer at short. I've seen some reports saying that that's not what they're thinking or hoping, but also we've seen a ton of reports on they're interested in this guy. They've had discussions in this guy, and we've already seen some, well, they had discussions with the Reds on Ellie De La Cruz, but couldn't get a deal done. So I'm expecting some more of those over these next 20 or four or so hours. And look, I'll be pleasantly surprised if they make a move. I'm still going to be watching. I'm still going to be rooting the team. I think the team has proven, obviously, that they can beat good teams, but we still have a ways to go. We got about 60 games left to go, give or take. And look, the dog days, they call them the dog days for a reason. We got a bunch of dogs on the team, but you know, just bring up Neto, for example, too. You touched upon Neto. I think my first show, I brought up Neto because I thought he would be a good fit, and that was several months back. I still like the player, but, man, the Angels are on something to think that the asking price for him is similar to an Ellie De La Cruz or a Bobby Witt Jr. I like the player, Zach Neto. This is nothing against you, but you got a lot of zeros in the areas that I want to bring back, right? I'm talking zero All-Star games, zero gold gloves, zero silver sluggers. And I guess it's not your fault that you have zero hits in the playoffs because you play for the Angels, but I don't want anybody with zero hits, zero play appearances. I'm okay with, I said it before, and I still don't think Craig's going to bring back a multi-time All-Star. And I say that specifically because there's guys that have made one All-Star game or get in as a reserve. So if I say he's not going to get an All-Star and he brings in a guy that barely made the All-Star team 3 years ago, then, you know, I'm wrong about everything. So I don't think it's going to be a true certified multi-time All-Star, but I'll settle for a guy who has proven to do it in October. That's why I've always liked Peña. I don't think the Astros are selling. They're not only in it for the wild card, but they're still in it for their division. But I say Peña because he fits the profile of the team. He's a stud defensively. He's got gold gloves. And by the way, he has a World Series ring and he played well in October. So we don't have, as good as this team has been, we don't have a lot of experience in October, as far as batters-wise at least, and I guess pitching-wise too. And I want some guys that have proven that they can do it on the biggest stage because, look, these guys have been doing great. Sogard had a great game tonight. Siegler gave you some hot hits. Monasterio offensively has been great. Defensively does not fit right in with the run prevention unit that we've seen. I need guys that have been proven performers in October to really give me confidence that if and when, I do think they're going to make the playoffs at this point, but you know, we're not too far. We were 13-3 since the All-Star break, but not too long ago, we got one hit shut out by Dylan Cease at home at Fenway Park. Okay. Dylan Cease won't be in the playoffs because the Blue Jays stink, but we're going to see pitchers of Dylan Cease's caliber in the playoffs. And I don't want to go into these playoffs with, you know, the roster or the offensive lineup that we've been putting out there that scrapes together three runs that beats the Dodgers, which was awesome. But man, when the lights are shining the brightest, when the weather's cold in October in Fenway or wherever we're playing, hopefully we get some home games this offseason, postseason, I should say. I just need to have the confidence that there's some guys that have gotten it done because I think that's going to elevate the play of the guys who haven't gotten it done yet or haven't had a chance to get it done. So Craig, just bring us in some October performers and let's go get this job done. Let's go make a run for the pennant because the American League is well within reach the way the league is shaken out. So it's not a knock. I'm all in. I just need to see a little more.
And there will be pressure on Craig Breslow because the Yankees, for example, aren't staying pat. You know, they got Garcia. Based on the reports, they're in conversation for Rutschman from the Orioles. So they're going to upgrade at the catcher position as well. So their team is going to be better. So despite what they've done in the month of July and sweeping the Dodgers, they have to do something else. I do agree with that. It has to be something. I don't think it's going to be as big as what we want it to be because, again, they kind of set themselves up with that trade with Early. But they have to do something. And I do think that the catcher position here is where they won't have to give up as much with the options that are out there for the shortstops. Try to get a catcher, try to go out there and get Goodman. If you know, you don't need to give up Arias, see if you can give up other prospects, any of your other top prospects, and I don't know, offer Durant. Hey, he's hot after tonight. Come on. Offer up Durant and see if they bite. Bullpen Bayo is an option as well. Try to pitch that to them and see if they agree. George Springer is another guy that's out there that has been rumored and linked to the Boston Red Sox as well. He's a playoff performer. He's a vet. I know he's on the latter part of his career, but you put him in Fenway, and that's always been my thing when I'm thinking about a player that can be added to this Boston Red Sox team. How can they perform at Fenway? Does that swing work well at Fenway? Contreras is one of the prime examples of what happens when you come and you play for this team and you play most of your games at Fenway Park. George Springer is another option as well. So let's give him these next, what, has less than 24 hours to make a move. Let's see what they do. Let's not swing for the fences here. Let's be realistic with what this Boston Red Sox team can get. But I do hope that Breslow can bring in at least one right-handed bat or, you know, a bat to be able to help this offense. I trust that the pitching, no matter what happens with the pitching, whether it's an injury, I trust that they can figure it out because they've done that all season. Get me a bat.
Hey,
if it's not a shortstop, De La Cruz, Pena, if the Astros want to come back or Witt, go out there and get a catcher and let's go for this AL pennant. It's right there for us. It's right there for us.
I'm glad you touched on Springer, Juan, because, yeah, he checks all those boxes that I just mentioned. Former World Series MVP, performs in October, performed last October for the Blue Jays, was a big part of their playoff run there. He's a rental, so he shouldn't cost that much. I believe this is the last year of his contract, so a few months later. I know he's lost a step defensively and with his speed, but historically, he absolutely mashes at Fenway. And you forgot the most important stat, Juan. He's also from Connecticut, so you know he's going to perform well when he comes to Fenway. But yeah, I would take Springer as well, especially if, I don't know, I'm mixed emotions about Duran. Obviously, I came on the last show on Thursday, fresh off of his antics with Wilson, and I said, you know, kick rocks, Duran, get off my team. But honestly, Tracy lied to our faces afterwards, rightfully so, like a good manager does. Wilson did the same, but all the reports from the clubhouse kind of seemed like they love the guy. And guess what? They let him play, and he had some impact at bats for us. Hit a home run tonight. Played well against the Dodgers. So, you know what? I'm fine with him being on the roster. But if we find a way to bring in George Springer as well, I think that does add for the roster. I see a comment. Yep, absolutely going to be a DH spot, especially if Duran is still on the team. But it feels like catcher is the most attainable position, which we definitely need to upgrade, but it just feels like it's the most attainable position out there considering the asking prices for some of the shortstops that are available.
I don't know, Matt. I mean, you did break the whole Springer to the Red Sox before that even became a thing, so I'll give you credit. Thank you for being modest. But I could make the argument that might be the most realistic because, like you said, the Blue Jays are going nowhere. He's on an expiring contract, if I'm correct. And even if they got a Duran in like a small little piece, like there's more control there. It's much more cost friendly to the Blue Jays because kind of gives them the ability to potentially reset financially and still bring something back on which a lost year. So I don't know. There might be some smoke to that. But you mentioned the home run. And you know what's interesting, and I'm not trying to spin this as like, oh, this is kind of like a trade deadline deal, even though it isn't like we do every mid-season trade deadline with the Boston Red Sox. But quietly, Masataka Yoshida is 21-2, at least we are 21-2 in his last 23 starts with the team. And that's all in the midst of this win streak, the last 30 games. What I think is proven now at this point from that sample size is that with the way that the Red Sox play baseball now, this mixture of small ball and timely hitting and like power when you need it, he's kind of fit into this lineup quite perfectly. I think almost to what the Red Sox expected when they got him. Am I saying he's going to make this huge difference in the world? No. But I also think the 23 games is a pretty large enough sample size to say that he's had enough of a high level of contribution to this team in a positive manner that you could quietly get something out of that. Not to mention, when you look at this lineup, he also was the most reliable hitter for the Boston Red Sox. Matt and I were talking about this before in the postseason. I mean, if you take away Masataka Yoshida at bats in the last postseason against the New York Yankees, we get swept. Never mind, potentially we should have won that series in two on the back of Masataka Yoshida. So, I'm not even going to get into a preview next series. I think we're all in agreement. We're playing the White Sox at home, big series against the White Sox in Fenway. I'm going to take 2 or 3. I would imagine, I guess, some of you are going to say a sweep or 2 or 3. Just shake your head. Yes? All right, cool. We're going to get past this. I'm going to leave you with this burning question and the viewers with this. Gun near your head. If you had to trade Franklin Arias or Roman Anthony, insert the name of the player, I don't care who it is, but that's basically what's getting the deal done. Arias or Anthony, which one is it and why?
I'll go first, Juan. It doesn't matter who we're bringing back, Chris. We're going to bring back an impact player for one of them, or just we're dealing Correct. Them. Yeah. Sure. So understanding that we're bringing back an impact player, not knowing the position that it's going to be. Gosh, that is a tough one. I will go with screw it, trading Roman. I don't love what I've seen. He was supposed to be the next guy. He was the number one prospect in baseball. I want to see what he comes back when he comes back. It seems like Driveline is out of the organization. I want to see a no Driveline Roman Anthony. I know Arias has never stepped foot on a major league ball field or seen a major league pitch just yet, but he seems to fill a need in the future that we're still going to need that middle infield. Whereas I feel like outfielder is kind of a dime a dozen, right? If you trade Roman Anthony, you can bring in a corner outfielder. Short-term deal, whatever, long-term deal, you can find corner outfielders out there, right? I don't think you can find stud middle infielders. The way that he has increased his power numbers in particular at such a young age, I'm just very intrigued by what he can do. The glove seems solid from what I've seen. I don't follow these prospects super close, to be honest. I'm a big league guy. I don't care a ton about the prospects. Gun to my head, I'm trading Roman Anthony because I worry that we're stuck with a really tough contract there. At least with Arias, if he doesn't perform, we're not locked in with the money. Now with Roman, we're going to have pressure to play him, even if he's not good. We've seen it with Story. We've seen it with Yoshida. We've seen it in the past with other bad deals that we're stuck with. And I feel like if Roman Anthony doesn't perform, not only can we not trade him in the future because he's not performing at the major league level, of course, but then we're stuck with that contract and forced to play him because we have locked him into that contract. So I know that he has more experience in the big leagues and probably was a more highly touted prospect. But if you're starting the conversation with former top prospect, I don't care who the player is coming after that. I don't really want to hear the rest of what you have to say if your sentence starts with former top prospect. So gun to my head, goodbye, Roman Anthony. We're keeping Arias, and that's that.
Yeah, I'm keeping Arias as well. I think this injury with Roman Anthony scares me. I mean, you look at the fact that he was only supposed to be out for what? Maybe a week or two, and it's rolled out all the way up to August. Maybe that speaks a little bit about, you know, the type of person that he is, right? He's not necessarily fighting through this or trying his best to to get back onto this major league roster. But even I remember talking back maybe in the month of May, right before he got injured, like he wasn't necessarily performing to the level that we were expecting from our number one guy, our Lord and Savior, Roman Anthony. Like he wasn't performing up to that level. So, outside of a short stint last season, right, where you know, he had some big home runs, especially against the Yankees. Roman Anthony didn't really do anything else. He didn't prove anything else. At least with Arias, he's in a very important position for the Boston Red Sox. He's a right-handed batter. Of course, I keep talking about Fenway Park and that green monster, a guy that maybe going into the future can take advantage of that green monster. Arias is that guy. If I had an option, I think I'd trade Anthony. And you talked about that contract as well. They've already given him that contract. You know, looking at what happens after the 2027 season, that may be something that other teams may want to look into and may want to bring into their team, see what you can get for him. I think Arias, you have to keep him unless you're going to go out there and trade him for a Bobby Witt Jr. or someone like that. It's a very important position. Trevor Story is not a part of your future. Marcelo Meyer is not a part of your future either. You need someone there going into the future, and Arias is that guy, unless you're using him as the main piece to get a Bobby Witt Jr., which I don't think they're going to do. Roman Anthony is the guy you have to trade.
Plus, we have Sedan locked up in center field. He's not going anywhere. I like what I've been seeing out of Abreu in right field. So that leaves you short of one corner outfielder for the foreseeable future. And like I said, you can pick those up off the scrap heap, no problem.
Yeah, I just want to start off with, Lord, forgive Juan for calling Roman Anthony our Lord and Savior. He is not. But nonetheless, I mean, listen, you guys.
That's at least what many Red Sox. That's the
no, one. I know. I'm kidding with you. It's the truth. That's what Red Sox fans, how they touted Roman Anthony for this organization. And the reality is, I mean, we touched on it, the contract. I mean, let's face it, too. The injuries, which you also mentioned. He did not have the power at the major league level that we expected and that we were sold on. That's one thing that we didn't really talk about. Two, attitude. There's some questionable character regarding his attitude, and that could be stemming from him hanging out with Marcelo Meyer, who seems to be in that same camp. So I won't pin it all on him, but nonetheless, you got the contract. Meyer didn't. So, like, act like a big leaguer. You haven't. And for the biggest reason that no one's talked about, the dude's got a noodle arm. That scares the crap out of me. When he was healthy, even at his best, and even when he was raking singles all over Fenway Park, because I call him the singles merchant, the dude has a noodle arm. It was a nine hopper to home plate every time he tried to gun someone down at the plate. The reality is the Boston Red Sox, they have a little bit of a logjam situation in the outfield, and you can argue in the infield. The difference is there's more major league talent logjam at the outfield position. Whereas the infield, let's be honest, right now, taking Arias out of this, like, we're kind of just putting it together with a bunch of guys that you didn't expect much of. It may work this season. I don't necessarily know if you count on it as a strategy long term. The other point is this. Right now, and Matt, you kind of said it, like, Roman Anthony, the biggest thing you could say, former major league prospect. He's not a proven major leaguer, not based off of the sample size we've seen. All he provides is like an 8-year contract. Is it reasonable if he rakes? Sure. But that's an if. The difference is Arias, you could at least sell hope. And that's either hope of the future that he can come in here and be what we thought Roman Anthony would be offensively and defensively for this organization. Or to both your points, he could be somebody else's hope and you could trade him and actually get back what you would expect. Because right now you are not going to get dollar for dollar value on Roman Anthony. You just aren't. So if I had to pick one of them, I'm good. Thank you so much, Roman. Thank you for attempting to be what we thought you could be. You're not. I'm willing to gamble on Arias. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
Just, don't get your hopes up on this trade deadline tomorrow. I'm not trying to sound negative. I can't stand the propaganda machine at work these last few weeks with, oh, they're interested in such and such player. They've been talking to so-and-so about this player. Reports are this, reports are that. Look, hold your breath, be calm, be patient. If nothing significant happens tomorrow, at least you can say, I was right and I didn't have my hopes up. I would much rather be wrong about it. Craig, prove me wrong one more time, one final time, Craig, and then we're good to go. But I just don't see it happening with the price of some of these asking price of some of these players and the lack of activity on top of the one move we did make was a massive overpay. We can fight all day long about it. It's proven to me today after that Garcia trade, it was a massive overpay. So everybody be calm and don't be upset when Craig doesn't make a move. Just be happy if he does.
Last thing for me is do not, and I repeat, do not let what happens between the next 20 hours. So it take you away from enjoying what's happening with this Boston Red Sox team. Enjoy it. Hop on the Boston Red Sox hype train. Watch your team. Root for your team. Go out there on Twitter and tweet away about your team. We're Boston Red Sox fans. Enjoy what's happening. No matter what happens, because it's easy for us to get away from the fact that, you know, if he doesn't do anything, oh my God, I hate Craig Breslow. He's so ass. Forget that. Enjoy what's happening. root for your team because the Boston Red Sox are in it and we have a real shot. Because of how bad this American League has been all season, we have a real shot to win the American League this season. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think the reality is you both made great points. And regardless of what happens within the next 24 hours or less at this trade deadline, I think what we should all be expecting and what is somewhat proven to this point is that the Red Sox are going to be playing meaningful baseball heading hopefully into October, although it's going to have to be as good as it's been now to get there. But we should be confident. We should be excited about that because no matter what happens, there's no team that's going to get good enough in the American League to make us not have the ability to challenge them at this point. Yeah, Judge might come back, and if he does, you don't know if he's going to be the same player. And if he does, well, then you know what? That's great. That's one team. We're the Boston Red Sox. We're playing well, generationally well in these last 30 games. There's not many people that are on planet Earth right now still alive that have seen a Red Sox team do what they've done the last 30 games. Let's be happy. Let's remain somewhat hopeful,